Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ, or in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Hello, Sister Lorna? Sister Lorna?
Oh. Maybe he's refilled.
Maybe he got a problem. Mine is okay. Just bear with me. I'll call her again. Oh, no. All right, Sister Lorna, are you there? Sister Lorna, are you there?
Thank you.
Okay, all right. We are now reading from Ephesians. Chapter 1.
Okay.
Okay, verses 1 to 7. Okay, let me repeat reading it. Yeah, verses 1 to 7. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. So, this is Paul, testimony of how the grace of God was expressed to himself. He experienced the grace of God, the saving grace and knowledge through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and also the doctrine of having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to his good pleasure, and to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. This is all the contents of his praise and his preaching, in praising the sovereign grace and will of God, and the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus through his precious blood. So, we can see here Paul introducing himself without any human credentials, but only as an apostle who is called by God, by the will of God, with a message of salvation in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he also make it known to the saints, the fellow believers in the saint, of the saints in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. So this is his way of greeting them. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2 and 3, we will revolve our minds about why the Apostle Paul magnify grace and peace, and is blessing God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly place in Christ. Now, as we all know, all the societies, including ours in Britain, around the world, especially this period of celebration, everything is glittering with pomposity about achieving something and donating bigger things to other people. Of course, Christians are not donating anything to magnify their name, but there are a lot of good organizations who try to show their kindness, their success, by donating a lot of things to those needy ones in our society. And therefore, the society that we are seeing ourselves and surrounded with successful business people around us and around the world, our society is actually operated on success-oriented makeup or framework. We love success stories, and we have television programs that exalt lifestyles of the rich and the famous ones. And you can name anyone that you like, that you have in mind. But God's standard of success is quite actually different from what the world's standard is. Unimpressed by our status or wealth, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, looks instead not on the accomplishment of man, but on the faithfulness of his redeemed people. That is a standard of success. By looking into the measure of true success, which Paul is trying to impress upon us, according to the verses that we read, let us remind ourselves tonight that God is more interested in your faithfulness than he is in your accomplishments. We Christians, sometimes we don't do the balance. We try to magnify success from the world, sometimes to the actually relegating of the work of God's grace in our lives, which is standard, is to base our success on the faithfulness in being ourselves is faithful witness into the world that is filled with wicked devices of the enemy of our soul. And we can see around us how many young people, and even sometimes Christians, are actually affected by this world standards and temptations that this world standards try to impress upon the minds of people. And people nowadays, because our society is operating on success-oriented, they do anything. They do everything to achieve what they want to achieve. Well, for instance, easy money in drugs, about women, about being the greatest inventor. Also, most of all, the enemy of our soul, which is the work of the devil in trying to, you know, reverse the sexuality of the so-called BLGT. Is it BLGT? No, G?
LGBT.
LGBT, that's right. Sorry about that. You know what I mean? This is organization. And a lot of young people nowadays, even adults, this BLGT,
LGBT,
yeah, sorry about that. This is an open declaration of war. This is an open declaration of God on the moral standards of God, whom God had created in his own image, and now even children are now trying to change their own sexuality. because they feel this way and that way. And this is, sometimes we think that the war is only about the superpowers involved. There is also a power right now, a war going on, a miscalculation, world war will come in. And that is imminent as well. But the daily spiritual battle we have is on these thoughts. That's why true success must not be the framework of the world standards that is being bombarded to us as Christians. So that we must remind ourselves that God is more interested in our faithfulness to proclaim the good news of the work of God's grace in our lives, so that others will also have the same privilege of God's plan of salvation to all people around the world. I know that you have chosen whom you have chosen, but we have to present the gospel to everyone so that no one can blame us, or we are always ready to show to God that we have never kept our mouth shut about this best gift, the gift of eternal life, the salvation of our souls in Christ Jesus. So, Paul understood this principle of true success and accomplishment. He understood that principle and diligently pursued his calling as an apostle. He's one of those unique men and women in the New Testament who were foundational to the church growth, which kept the church alive because of the preaching of the true gospel of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, who were also recipients and teachers and writers of the New Testament. That was high calling. And yet, judging from Paul's lifestyle, most people would hardly call him successful. And you can see the records of that in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27, that having suffered imprisonment, beatings, death threats, shipwrecks, robberies, hatred from his theological enemies and philosophers, sleepless nights, hunger, thirst, and exposure to the elements, that perhaps if you have experienced that as well, one could probably easily be discouraged and stop from there. But none of those things deterred the Apostle Paul from obeying God's will. His final testimony in 2 Timothy 4:7 is this: I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Is that the basis of your aiming for a true success? Also, the Apostle Paul continued to encourage us that in 2 Corinthians 12:9, reliance on God's strength and not man's strength is encouragement for us. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. God, in our sometimes unguarded moments, will often break us down in order to build us up. And sometimes that's very surprising. I'm calking about the affliction. I'm talking about the affliction that God allows in our lives. And sometimes we tend to have a different view of God's affliction. We may sometimes feel that God is punishing us. But for God forbid, He doesn't do that. He never punishes us to crush us to pieces. But we want to build us up in our most holy faith. That's why the word saint that we read a while ago is someone that God has set us apart from our sin. And because of our faith in Christ, He is setting us apart for a holy and righteous living and to be a strong and powerful witness around the world for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and winning souls for Christ. It will take away our strength sometimes, our own strength, what we have been trusting on and holding on to our own strength, so that we only can look to Him and to Him alone for strength and wisdom and guidance. The refiner's fire, mind you, involves real fire and very hot. And sometimes we are just surprised and stop when we are experiencing this affliction and we begin to doubt why God is doing to us. The big question why is always magnified in our minds. The waves of change that God wants to be our experience on a daily basis, sometimes it's difficult to accept. Sometimes we are not ready to accept. Which this change involves being plummeted, being tossed to and fro, and sometimes the burden of those trials and afflictions make us question God. But that is not God's purpose. We are hard-pressed, according to the Apostle Paul on 2 Corinthians 4, 8-12, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is what the Apostle Paul tried to picture in his own life. He wrote this so that we can learn and be encouraged when God's plan of real change would like to be established in our hearts so that we no longer see ourselves, but Christ is being implanted, being developed. People will see Him in our lives. That's why the growth of the church depends not on a lot of gimmicks, you know, gimmicks and try to invite people with all these paraphernalia and a lot of gadgets, a lot of invitations about engaging people to come in great numbers, which is all man's gimmicks. But that is not how God works. God works in mysterious ways, but His mysterious ways are His holy ways to draw men unto our Lord Jesus Christ and unto Himself. Although we are not apostles like the Apostle Paul, but we are His witnesses, we are His saints. Is separating us from this world, from sin, into holy, useful vessels. That's why, in the example of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, we have to follow. Paul is exhorting the Corinthian brethren to follow him for his faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 11:1. That is possible, you know. Of course, none of us can say, follow me. But that's Apostle Paul. Follow my example. Because God has produced a holy, useful vessels. Out of the millions of people at that time, He raised up Paul despite his Damascus Road experience of persecuting the Christians. And the crisis point of his life when he's about to kill and drag Christians on the road and kill them and prosecute them, give them charges, all possible charges, to stop the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ is stopped at that moment with brightness of light, blinding him so that he will be helpless and nothing on his own strength and his brilliance will pursue his persecution of God's people. And of course, God challenged him. When he was blinded, he cried to the Lord, "Lord, please use me. What will you do with my life?" And of course, he was led to this man of God who led him, who gave him, whom God used to give him sight and guide him. God gave him that direction, and that is the until his eyes was restored, and God from that time on used him to record all the process of sanctifying him to be a useful vessel until, as we have presented to you, that the changes that God wants him to have is that even though he is hard pressed, he is not crushed, even though he's perplexed, he has experienced all these shipwrecks and death threats, God had made those on a purpose that he works everything together for good. For good, for his glory, to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So, it is possible to follow the Apostle Paul's example. Like the Ephesian believers, the word saints there in verse 1, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his way of greeting God's people and his fellow saints. And he also continued to extend his greetings. By God's grace, we have trusted in Christ as our Lord and Savior, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. And he received his righteousness, not his own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 9. And his spirit in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. And every spiritual resources necessary for the faithful and victorious living. Which is, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." That is the resources. That's our great inheritance in Christ, that we can draw from these spiritual blessings which are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes when we are discouraged, sometimes when we don't get what we ask of the Lord, we are so easily discouraged. But God set a no for the time being. Perhaps what we are asking is not for his glory for the moment. And yes, he knows what is the desires of our heart for his glory. That's why he can say yes, answer those quickly. But if it doesn't, God knows what is best for us. So we should not be complaining when the answers to our prayer are not forthcoming. So every spiritual resources that we need is available in Christ Jesus, because his inheritance are for our good. We can ask anything with thanksgiving in our hearts. We'll go back to that later. What remains is to cultivate greater love for our Lord Jesus Christ and more consistent obedience to his holy word. These are the hallmarks of a true, faithful, consistent disciple. God's measure of success. Those who continually draw their strength from the inheritance of our eternal blessings in Christ Jesus. Make it my goal or your goal that your life tonight and the rest of the week and the rest of your life warrants the Lord's commendation, which is, he said in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Of course, he will do that when he will take us from this world into his most holy abode in the heavenly place. which he said to his disciples, I have prepared a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. So praise God. Let us praise the Lord for his wonderful grace. Let us not just praise God for the material things that he gives us. The physical strength. Of course, we need physical strength, good health, but most of all, the abundant grace that make us tick, that make us feel we are valued by God. The fact that he has chosen us. Look at that word. He has chosen us. He has predestinated us unto adoption of children in verse 5 by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, according to the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. He lavishes this grace upon us, so that we are predestined to become adopted child or children of our living God by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot to praise God. To be chosen by God even before the time began. And that is the election of the saints. Although we do not understand that fully, but God gave us adequate faith to understand it. That's what is just written there. There is a lot of theological discussion on this, and sometimes it tries to separate friends and pastors because of this truth. But those who have no shed light at the moment, they try to negate this truth. We cannot negate what is written in the Word of God, that God predestined or chosen those whom he had chosen. He chooses to bring grace to those who he wants to be receiving his grace, isn't it? But grace is available to all. And we are only as instruments to share the gospel, to preach the gospel. And he's the one saving souls as he has chosen those people who receive the gospel. We don't even be worried why people does not respond to the gospel. It's not us the problem. It's because people love their sin. That's why people are not being saved for the moment. But when God begins to breathe, regenerate their life through the power of the Holy Spirit, then people will begin to realize they are lost and they need the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what happened to Paul. When God has struck him with that blindness, God gave him immediate restoration of his sight, which is again part of the regeneration power of the Holy Spirit. We may not be that spectacular thing that God does to us, but God works in mysterious ways. He works at different people in trying to regenerate their soul so that they will become adopted children of God. So that's a very interesting and encouraging thought, that God who have predestinated us or chosen us as the adoption unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Let us continue to keep his word despite our setbacks, despite Paul's setbacks, as we have read a while ago. He continued to encourage himself and live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I press toward the mark, forgetting about the past, but pressing the goal is high calling in Christ Jesus to press the gospel, to preach the gospel, and to be faithful until the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And he did that. And this is our encouragement to follow God's, the Apostle Paul's example. Faithful Christians keep the course of their calling, regardless of the storm, regardless of the criticism, regardless of the heat of criticism and affliction, we must continue to persevere in our faith. And secondly, let us continue to bless the God of our salvation, the God of blessings. In verse 3, look at verse 3. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in every places. When we bless God, remember this, it is with words of praise. That's why encouraging our children to memorize scriptures, they are the only exact words. When we memorize the Word of God, it gives us the exact words, the adjectives, the greatness of God, the kindness of God, the goodness of God, the sovereign grace of God, the faithfulness of God, and all other goodness of God that He shows us and He lavishes upon us through His abundant grace and mercy. That can, but of course, that the first evidence of that is our salvation in Christ. And we are moved to realize that having been chosen before God, it's a privilege to choose us. We are actually unworthy people. And yet, by God's goodness and mercy, He chose to save us. And that will be, it should be the forefront of our praise to God. We must bless God for this privilege. So when we bless God, it is with words of praise. And sometimes we grapple with the adjectives. They are there in the Bible. The attributes of God. Those are the I words that are understandable. God is so great. He's so is omnipotent. His power is never ends. You cannot put in one computer. The computer sometimes depends so much, and yet the computer is limited. But God's reservoir of wisdom and knowledge is expressed in one word, omniscient. He knows everything. And is omnipotent, is powerful. Christ's name has power to change our lives. We get all the favorable resources we have read already. That in verse 3 expound to us. We have all these spiritual blessings in the heaven places in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, we not only bless God with words of praise, but when He bless us, listen to this, it is with deeds of kindness. When God bless us, it is with deeds of kindness. And we must praise God to these verses, that He has chosen us as adopted children according to His good pleasure, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace, where He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And also in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. The mystery of His will is that He's going back to His predestinating believers, those who have chosen to respond to the gospel. The mystery of His will is that He allowed suffering and affliction to come our way. But sometimes our viewpoint is not different from the plan of God, because we don't trust Him. We don't give Him praise. The Christians who are on the road to full victorious living is that, like Apostle Paul, he said, I can do all things through Christ who always strengthens me. That means his life is all for Christ. His existence depends upon the grace and mercy of God. His only preoccupation is to preach the gospel. He said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. That is his main preoccupation in life, to preach the gospel and to live the gospel. And I think that is, and I believe that that is God's plan for us. Not only as a church, but as God's people. When we continue to praise him and ask his guidance and wisdom, we will never go wrong. So that Paul's doxology in verses 1 to 3 identify God the Father as the ultimate recipient and source of our praises and blessing, in blessing God. We must continue to praise God for all his goodness and tender mercies towards us. The one to whom blessings is ascribed and the one who bestows blessings on those who love him through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said the word blessed is come from the Greek word which eulogeo, which is where our English word comes, eulogy, to bless or eulogize God is to praise him for his mighty works and holy character. I mentioned already about the attributes of God. That should be our response, to praise God like the psalmist. That's why the psalm is actually is a worship experience of the psalmist in praising him for the goodness of God, for the preservation of his life. Like I would say again and again when we praise God, in Psalm 103, for example, praise the Lord of my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. And forget not his benefits. For he has what? The benefits follows that the forgiveness of our sins continuously, past, present, and future. We must continue to praise God and not to be always feel like I am so repetitious. I feel always like I'm all ashamed before God because of my repetitious sinning. But that's what God's grace is. That's where the precious blood of the Lamb comes once and for all and finished and accomplished and applied to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that even the psalmist continue to praise God and bless God. He's saying in Psalm 66 verse 20, bless God who has not turned away my prayers. Thank God that despite our sin, God is ready to listen to our prayers. But we must have that sense of repentance and confess our sin, because God cannot work in a vessel that is without the fear of God and sense of reverential fear of God in our hearts. We must confess that sin. And also, the psalmist continue to bless God in some, like for instance, in Psalm 72 verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone works wonders. Wonders. Where is that? That's Psalm 37. Verse 4. Call unto me. Oh, Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things. These are great wonders of God. And we challenge God about the things that we want to his wondrous works. That Jeremiah is a challenge to us. One lady, I've already repeated this to you already. When our Bible study in the Philippines, one elderly lady came. Her medicine, sometimes for 1 week, it became 2 months. Because she cut them into small pieces. Because she's not able to and afford to buy this medicine. And such a touching experience when he cried and shouted before everyone about to study the Word of God. She is attending there, and I was privileged to see that Businessmen's Fellowship, who is part of our church in the Philippines. And he shouted once, and you know, look, look, I found a medicine, the best medicine of them all. And then Uncle Ed asked her, what is that? Mamang is her name. Oh, he said, look, open your Bible, he said. And that is Jeremiah 33:7. Call unto God, and he will show you great and mighty things. And she said, I found this great mighty things, which is a cure to my soul. I was encouraged that I can call God for all my needs, she said. And that's encouraging, that those people were just amazed to find that promise of God. So we must bless God for all his words. So when the situation is reversed after praying many, many times, and God bless us, it isn't with praise, for apart from him, there is nothing praiseworthy about us. All praise must go to God. Even though we have led people to come to Christ and help them to trust the Lord, it is not us. There's nothing praiseworthy to us. It is only for Christ, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, to the scriptures alone, and to by grace, sola gratia, and sola fide alone. For by grace alone, and by faith alone, that we are saved. He gives us undeserved benefits through his many deeds of kindness. The scriptures identify him as the source of every good thing. In James 1:17, who works all together for good and for his glory, in Romans 8:28. I turn to you and open in James 1:17. Look at this, and we must praise God for this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is a very present help, and continues a very present encouragement to us. He is the source of every gift, good gift, big or small. He loves us with his unending love and forgiveness of sin, and grace abounding and mercy, for they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. That is but just a sample or sampling of the many blessings that we have just read and our text tonight, that God lavishes on us with deeds of kindness, and we bless him with words of praise. By the way, do we really bless him with words of praise? Sometimes, remember, we can praise God, but our hearts are away from him. Have you experienced that? That's why God, as if in our many, many prayers, we don't see the word of God blessing us, or the joy, the sense of joy that we want to experience. Because we can praise him, and yet our heart does not match the praise. There may be something in our hearts, horizontally, that needs to be sorted out with God. And of course, once that is sorted out, the horizontal one with others should be also corrected. But if we try to resolve the horizontal relationship without resolving our vertical relationship with God, then nothing will happen. We can praise God, go do God's work without any blessing. That's why we need to continue to praise God, bless God, and seek his face. and praise Him for His mercy towards us. And then when we are reunited and rejuvenated with God's work of His grace and His mercy towards us, then let's continue to ask God to make us aware and thankful for His goodness in our lives, and always be ready to seek forgiveness when we take His blessing for granted. I think that is all that's for tonight, that we must continue to seek God with all our heart, soul, body, and strength, that we must ask God to really view the things that He hates in our lives, and not to justify it with our own presumptuousness, what should us. But we must allow God to really be willing to correct us when there is correctness is needed. And when we pray together, let's continue to praise God with the right relationship with God. We cannot continue to praise God if there's something amiss in our hearts. And of course, if there's something amiss, we cannot work our horizontal relationship with other people if that's not corrected. And that is very important. So that Paul, when he prayed and blessed God, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. Yes, Sister Lorna, we are back. Hello? Yeah. Yes, thank you. We try to connect you, but we are having difficulty. So let us encourage ourselves by continually remembering that God has chosen us even before the foundation of the world. We must bless God for all the small things, the preservation of our life, the forgiveness of our sin, and all His various plans and purposes for our lives. And we must continue also to rely on Him for wisdom, not on our own wisdom. And let us not try to elevate self, because God will not choose a vessel that is full of self agendas. We must continue to elevate Christ and ask forgiveness if we don't please God in our own individual lives and with one another, fellow saints, in his church. And also reminding ourselves that God is more interested in our being faithful rather than in our desires to accomplish a lot of things. When our minds are focused on a lot of things, it doesn't work, even though they are praiseworthy within our view. That's why the Lord Jesus is so correct in saying, lead your life one day at a time. Right? We should not be focused 7 days ahead of us. Because if we do that, then we are not dependent upon God's wisdom and leadership. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May these words from Ephesians will encourage us to continue to improve our praises to God and our thanksgiving. And we should not end our prayer or begin our prayer with praises. And when we worship God, we are asked to thank Him, to praise Him for all His good benefits for us all. So praise God for the things that we need to be reminded of ourselves. If we are lacking of thankfulness and praising God, well, God cannot bless us because we don't have these ready hearts to praise Him and thank Him. Because God deserves our praises and thanksgiving. It is not just in the business of blessing us all the time, all the time, all the time. Can you, even in the family, imagine if children are always just receiving, 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 without any thanks from the children, they also wait, the parents also wait for a joyful thanks to the children who receive their hard work. And of course, parents as well should also encourage their children. And we, as a family, we should continue to praise God for each other and to encourage one another. I don't know about you, but there are Christians who try to bring a note, whether that be a card or a small note. I received one, which I cannot, I think it's still there in my room. One of my fellow seminary, fellow students, just once, they wrote there that we are praying for you, with a praying hand at the, in the front. Well, the small things, you know, do count in praising God and encouraging one another and stirring up one another. Remembering each other in prayer. Pray with thanksgiving in our hearts, for this is God's plan for our lives. This is why the Apostle Paul is so worthy as well, not because we brag about him, but he wrote these things that we might follow his example. I don't know whether you write in your letter, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with his spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I wonder if we write this in our greetings. Sometimes I do. But I think we must also use these greetings to one another to encourage us not only to be drawn closer with one another, but to be drawn to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Sister Lorna, we will sing our last hymn, 398. Are you there still with us? Yes, okay. 398.
That's Christian hymns.
Yes, Christian hymn. Oh, the reason why you can hear him is because it's low volume. It's okay now. Okay, 398, please, in our Christian hymn.